April 22nd. People at the bakery are changing. Not only ignoring me, I can feel the hostility. Donner is arranging for me to join the baker's union, and I've gotten another raise. The rotten thing is that all of the pleasure is gone because the others resent me. In a way, I can't blame them. They don't understand what has happened to me, and I can't tell them. People aren't proud of me the way I expected. Not at all. Still, I've got to have someone to talk to. I'm going to ask Miss Kinnean to go to a movie tomorrow night to celebrate my raise, if I can get up the nerve. April 24th. Professor Niemer finally agreed with Dr. Strauss and me that it will be impossible for me to write down everything if I know it's immediately read by people at the lab. I've tried to be completely honest about everything, no matter who I was talking about, but there are things I can't put down unless I can keep them private, at least for a while. Now, I'm allowed to keep back some of these more personal reports, but before the final report to the Wellberg Foundation, Professor Niemer will read through everything to decide what part of it should be published. What happened today at the lab was very upsetting. I dropped by the office earlier this evening to ask Dr. Strauss or Professor Niemer if they thought it would be all right for me to ask Alice Kinnean out to a movie, but before I could knock, I heard them arguing with each other. I shouldn't have stayed, but it's hard to break the habit of listening, because people have always spoken and acted as if I weren't there, as if they never cared what I overheard. I heard someone bang on the desk, and then Professor Niemer shouted, "I've already informed the convention committee that we will present the paper at Chicago." Then I heard Dr. Strauss's voice. "But you're wrong, Harold. 6 weeks from now is still too soon. He's still changing." And then Niemer. "We've predicted the pattern correctly so far. We're justified in making an interim report. I tell you, Jay, there's nothing to be afraid of. We've succeeded. It's all positive. Nothing can go wrong now." Strauss. "This is too important to all of us to bring it out into the open prematurely. You're taking the authority on yourself." Niemer. "You forget that I'm the senior member of this project." Strauss. "And you forget that you're not the only one with a reputation to consider. If we claim too much now, our whole hypothesis will come under fire." Niemer. "I'm not afraid of regression anymore. I've checked and rechecked everything. An interim report will do no harm. I feel sure nothing can go wrong now." The argument went on that way, with Strauss saying that Niemer had his eye on the chair of psychology at Halston, and Niemer saying that Strauss was riding on the coattails of his psychological research. Then Strauss said that the project had as much to do with his techniques in psychosurgery and enzyme injection patterns as with Niemer's theories, and that someday thousands of neurosurgeons all over the world would be using his methods. But at this point, Niemer reminded him that those new techniques would never have come about if not for his original theory. They called each other names: opportunist, cynic, pessimist. And I found myself frightened. Suddenly, I realized I no longer had the right to stand there outside the office and listen to them without their knowing it. They might not have cared when I was too feeble-minded to know what was going on, but now that I could understand, they wouldn't want me to hear it. I left without waiting for the outcome. It was dark, and I walked for a long time, trying to figure out why I was so frightened. I was seeing them clearly for the first time. Not gods or even heroes, but just two men worried about getting something out of their work. Yet, if Niemer is right, and the experiment is a success, what does it matter? There's so much to do, so many plans to make. I'll wait until tomorrow to ask them about taking Miss Kinnean to a movie to celebrate my raise.